This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
So, here is the title of our message this morning. It is titled, Healing is Yours, : No More Condemnation, No More Pain. And absolutely, pain is, no more pain is bolder. It is with an exclamation mark, because healing in Jesus, the healing of God is for us in Jesus. Amen. And condemnation is one of those things that will try and steal our confidence and trust in divine healing and receiving healing from God. And God does not want us to be in pain. And so today, I want to minister to those of you who might be in pain today. If you are in pain, I want you to know that this message is for you. Whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whether it's psychological pain, any kind, whatever kind of pain you've been experiencing, I believe that God is going to speak to you today and encourage you, because healing is truly yours. We receive it by faith. God has given it to us by grace. But you know, one thing we need to do in order to fully receive it is understand that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that removes pain. I believe that today, as I share the word, the anointing of God is going to fill the place where you are. It is going to touch you. It is going to come upon you. And it is going to remove whatever pain you have been experiencing, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's psychological. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody. That pain is going to be removed today, and God is going to heal you. I'm fully persuaded of that. I believe it. God has shown me that that's what he's going to do. And so I want to encourage you, receive this message today. Receive it with all your heart. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And when the time comes for us to pray, I believe that it's going to just go away. I believe that even as I share the word this morning, it is going to go away. And so he is going to bring relief and healing to you today. So let me briefly encourage you and prepare your heart, prepare our hearts to receive healing from God today. Let's specifically trust him to remove pain today. That's something that the Holy Spirit, even this morning as I was up early praying, preparing, finishing off, the Holy Spirit just said to me real clearly, today I am going to remove pain from my people. And so if you have been experiencing some form of pain, believe it, trust God that he's going to remove it today. So we're going to look at some of the word. We're going to look at what God has, just to remind us of what God has done for us and how healing is ours and how pain will be removed in Jesus' name. So let's begin by reading from the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. And today we're reading mostly from the Amplified translation. Okay. So Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 and 5. Watch what it says. This is now prophetically being spoken by the prophet Isaiah some approximately 700 years before Jesus actually went to the cross and did what Isaiah prophesied about over here, okay? So he says, but in fact, talking about Jesus, he has borne our griefs. Look at that. So whose griefs did he carry? Ours. And you know, it's interesting, that word griefs, actually, if you look it up in the original, it talks about sicknesses. So you could say it this way, but in fact, he has borne our sicknesses and our diseases. It includes that. Then it says, and he has carried, watch this, our sorrows and pains. Isn't that powerful? You know, my daughter, who's a teenager, I have seen her from time to time just experience pain. People say mean things. People do mean things. They don't treat her well. And of course, any parent wants their children to have the best and be treated the best. But we live in a world where not everybody's perfect, including us. And so I have seen her being hurt. I have seen her carry severe pain. I have seen her literally sob her little eyes out to the point where she just wants to give up and she feels hopeless and helpless. And you know, as a parent, I know that Helena feels the same way. We say to her, we've actually voiced this to her before, and we've said, you know, baby, if I could take that pain on myself, if I could remove it out of your soul and put it in mine, I would do it any day. Whatever you're going through, whatever pain you're experiencing, if I could take it from you, I wouldn't even think twice. I would line up and I would take it. And you know, I know that we cannot, but here's the beautiful thing. Jesus did. And that's what that portion is telling us. It's telling us that he carried, he bore our griefs, our sicknesses and diseases, and he carried our sorrows and our pains. Can you see how this describes physical pain, emotional pain, and psychological pain? Because that's what sorrows are, right? So it's pretty powerful. So if Jesus bore it for us, if Jesus carried it for us, it means that he didn't want us to carry them. Then it goes on and it says, yet, look at this. So while he was on the cross, this is what he was doing. He was bearing our griefs. He was carrying our sorrows and pains. But yet, look at what it says about the people who stood around him by the cross and what they would actually, what they would think was going on. Yet, he says, we ignorantly, see, they didn't know really what was going on, what Jesus was actually doing. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. So in other words, what this is saying is that the people around him, the people that read about him, that didn't understand gospel truth, they thought, you know, God is judging him. God is doing this to him because of whatever, something that he's done. And so many people to this day blame God for things that happen, horrible things that happen. And they call it the sovereignty of God. And I'm going to teach on that one day. But it is so grossly misunderstood in so many Christian circles today. But nonetheless, so he says this is what the people thought was going on. That he was being punished for his own stuff, for his own mess ups. And this is what, the, you know, it was God doing this to him. But yet it began by saying, no, he was actually carrying our griefs, our sorrows, and our pains. Then it goes on in verse 5, and he clarifies it. But, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. So he was wounded for the things we did, our sinful stuff. It says he was crushed for our wickedness. You see, it's one thing to be sinful, to mess up. It's another thing to transgress, and it's another thing to be wicked. So it's talking about all levels of, or all intensities of sin. Then it says, for our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. It says the punishment required, watch what it says next, for our well-being fell on him. In other words, whatever punishment would cause bad health, bad wholeness, pain, it was placed on him so that we could be well. Can you see that? Then it says, and by his stripes, talking about his wounds from the whipping, we are, notice it's present ongoing. That was written in the perfect tense, not the past tense, not the present tense, not the future tense, but including all of them, which is the perfect tense, we are healed. And that's talking about physical, emotional, and psychological healing, well-being. So that's a pretty powerful portion, wouldn't you agree? But right there, I have shown you how it is God's will, it is God's desire for you and I to be well, to be whole, to be healed when we need healing, and above all, to be free of pain. It is his will. I've just shown it to you. It said it clearly. Jesus took everything necessary as far as punishment, as far as judgment, as far as condemnation, as far as whatever would cause the pain, whatever would cause bad health. He took it all upon himself so that you and me can have good health and wholeness, so that you and I can be free of pain when pain comes, so that you and I can enjoy victory over pain, because he got the victory over pain. You don't have to get the victory over pain. He got the victory over pain. And I'm going to show you that in a moment, okay? So we can receive healing because Jesus got the victory over our griefs, our sorrows, and our pains at the cross. Would that be a true statement? We can enjoy, we can receive healing. We can enjoy the victory over our grief, our sorrows, and our pains because Jesus got the victory for it, for them at the cross. Amen. It's powerful. You see, we don't need to get the victory to be well or be healed because Jesus has already done that. Amen. You know, I know the day is going to come when Gabriella, my daughter, is going to want to drive her own car. And we've already made a pledge to her and promised her that she will have a car when the time comes. And we're going to live up to that pledge. And so whenever the time comes that she has her license and she's ready to drive, we're going to hand her the key and she's going to have a car to drive and go wherever she needs to go. Now think about this. Does she have to fight to get a car? Does she have to try and get the victory to have a car? No, it's going to be given to her because it's already pledged to her. And you know, that's something that's to come. But here it tells us that Jesus has already done it. He's already given us victory over sorrows, griefs, and pains. So all we need to do is receive it by faith, by believing, and understand that it's not based on our merit, on our performance. It is given to us by grace. Grace is not grace when you feel that you have to earn it or deserve it. That's reward. Grace is the unmerited. In other words, you cannot earn it, you cannot deserve it, favor of God. And God gives it to us by grace. There was no conditions over there that said that he bore the griefs and sorrows and pains of those who lived well, of those who were righteous, of those who performed really well and impressed God and were as religious as they could be. It didn't say that. Why? Because if we could achieve it by our merit and our performance, Jesus wouldn't have needed to do that. We could just achieve it, right? It's because we cannot that he did that. But the wonderful thing here is that we have victory already over sorrows, griefs, and pain. Amen. We need to remember that. In actual fact, if you fast forward from Isaiah, some 700 and so years ahead, when it happened, and Matthew, this is written in Matthew, and it basically shows you that portion that Isaiah prophesied about come to pass in Matthew. And watch what this says here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. This is proof of what Isaiah prophesied happening. Okay? It says, when evening came, they brought to him, that's to Jesus, many who were under the power of demons. And he cast out the evil spirits with a word. See, all we need is a word from God. That's what's happening today. And, watch this, restored to health some who were sick. Is that what it says? No. It says he restored to health all who were sick, every single one, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. So that, watch this, he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, what we just read. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried our diseases. So in other words, the reason why Jesus could heal people in his time was because Isaiah prophesied that he would take it all upon himself. So Jesus, knowing that the cross was coming, he was able to heal every single person that came to him because he would take their sickness, their disease, their pain, their sorrow, their grief. Amen. It's powerful stuff. So we see it happening then. And you know, I know some people have said to me when they read that and I explain that to them, they say to me, well, Jesus is not here anymore. Really? He's inside of us. He's with us. He's forever with us. And he said that the works that he did, greater we will do. And he sent his disciples and us with a commission to go and do as he did. And really, even today when we pray for someone, when we pray for you in a little bit, it's not me healing you. It's the Lord Jesus healing you. He's just using me to release his anointing, his power, his presence, and exercise his authority so you can receive your healing today. And that's what he told the disciples to do. And that's what they did in the days of the early church once Jesus went back to heaven as a person, right? And so we see it happening there. So I need to ask you a question having said that. Listen to my question real carefully and think about it real carefully before you answer, okay? So whose faith did it take at the cross to conquer sickness and disease, to conquer sorrows, griefs, and pains? Whose faith did it take? Was it your faith? Was it the apostles' faith, the disciples who were there? Was it the crowd of disciples that stood around him and watched him on the cross? Was it their faith, their believing that it took to do that? No, it was Jesus' faith, Jesus' believing. He exercised his faith as a human being on that cross, believing that everything he's going through, he was doing it so that he would carry our sorrows, our pains. He would carry our sickness, our diseases, so that we could enjoy the benefits and the victory of them. Amen. So it was his faith. And you know, this is something that is lost in translation, literally. Because so many translations, this is one of the reasons why I prefer studying from the Old King James. I read other translations to understand context and, you know, clarify certain things. But as far as studying word for word, I like to stick to the King James because it's probably the most accurate direct word-by-word translation that we have. In actual fact, the Young's is, but that's a little harder to read. But nonetheless, so many translations, if you look at the original, it says that, for example, talking about righteousness, it says, we have been given righteousness by the faith of Jesus. Most modern translations say, we have righteousness by faith in Jesus. So what it does is it puts the onus on us when we change that one little word, of, to in. And so many translations have done that. But if you look at the original, it tells us that it's by the faith of Jesus that we're accepted by God. By the faith of Jesus, we are made righteous. By the faith of Jesus, we are made holy. And by the faith of Jesus, we are made whole because it took his faith to take upon himself our sickness, our disease, our griefs, our sorrows, our pains. It was his faith at work, believing that what he is doing would bring the benefit to us. Amen. So it took Jesus' faith at the cross to conquer sickness, disease, pain, sorrows, griefs. Amen. So you don't need, let me say this. Stay with me. Listen to what I'm about to say real carefully. Having said what I just said. So you don't need faith to conquer sickness, disease, griefs, sorrows, and pains. Am I right in saying that? If it took Jesus' faith to get the victory over them, to conquer them, do you need faith to get victory over them and to conquer them? No. So then, what do you need faith for? How do you use your faith? You need faith to receive what Jesus has already done for you. That's where faith comes in. That's where believing comes in. You don't need to believe to get the victory because it's already done. You don't need to believe to conquer them because it's already done. What you need, the faith, the believing, is to receive what he's already done. In other words, to believe that he did it and to receive that victory. In other words, yes, I feel sorrow. Yes, I feel pain. Yes, I feel the grief. Yes, I see the results of what is, you know, trying to attach itself to me, attack me. But my faith and trust is I'm not going to exercise faith to try and get victory over those things, because I already have the victory over those things in Jesus. It took his faith to get me the victory. So what I am going to do is I'm going to exercise my faith, my believing, to receive and believe that it's mine and just rest in what he has already done for me. Amen. That's exactly how it works. Look at this, for example, in 1 Peter 2:24, a portion we know well. It says, he personally, what does it say next? Carried, that's past tense. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, see? And live for righteousness, for by his wounds, you who believe have been, past tense, have been healed. Amen. So he carried and you have been. You see, it's a past tense thing. It's done. You were healed. Therefore, you can be healed and you are healed. And I know sometimes people struggle with me teaching this because they say, well, you don't know the diagnosis I've got. You don't know the pain that I have. I get it. I deal with things myself. Amen. I have been dealing with something for a while now. I'm sure you hear it in me having to clear my throat here and there. But let me tell you something. I'm going to hold on to what I got at the cross. I have been healed. Therefore, I am healed. I don't need faith to conquer this thing. I don't need faith to get the victory over it because I have it. I believe that it was done and it manifests in me in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, that's how God wants us to approach the situation specifically that brings pain into our lives. Praise God. So Jesus used his faith to conquer sickness and disease, grief, sorrows, and pain. So what you need to do is you use your faith to receive his victory. You don't need faith to conquer. You need faith to receive what has been conquered. That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Someone who's more than a conqueror, someone who enjoys the victory of someone who has gotten the victory. Amen. So grace is how God gives to us. Faith is how we receive what he gives to us. That's another way of putting that. Now, you know, when we think about communion, partaking of communion, the bread and the juice, which represent the body and the blood of Jesus. Think about it really. It's a celebration of what we have in common with Jesus. Isn't that so? Communion reminds us of what we have in common with Jesus. I mean, have you ever thought about that? What do you have in common with Jesus? Think about that for a moment. Today I want to show you five different things that you have in common with Jesus. And of course, I'm including myself in that, okay? And it's not going to come up on the screen, but I'm going to say it and then I'll show you the scripture, okay? And I guess I should have put it on the screen, but I didn't think about it. So here's the first thing that you have in common with Jesus. Galatians 2 verse 20, and I've emboldened it so you can see it. This is what you have in common with Jesus, okay? Paul writes here and he says, and this applies to you too. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by believing, that is, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So what did Paul say he has in common with Jesus? That he was crucified with Jesus. Amen. So who you were in fallen Adam has been crucified. Your identity as a fallen, sinful being was crucified. So you no longer have that identity before God. God no longer sees you that way. He sees you the way he sees Jesus. Perfect, pure, holy, righteous, and in your case, redeemed. Amen. So that's what you have in common with Jesus. You were crucified with him. He wasn't crucified just for you, but he was crucified as you. That's why Paul says, I was crucified with him. In other words, he wasn't just crucified for me, he was also crucified as me. It's as if you were on that cross being crucified as a sinful being and being punished for your sin. That's what Jesus' sacrifice counts 110% in your favor. Because that was as good as you being on that cross. Amen. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing that we have in common with Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, we have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk habitually in newness of life, abandoning our old ways. Notice what I've emboldened. You have been buried with Jesus. So that's the second thing that you have in common with Jesus. He wasn't just buried for you, but he was also buried as you. That's why Paul says, I was buried with him. So Jesus died as the sinful you and paid the price for every sin and every your sinful state, every single thing. Then he was buried as that old sinful person as you. So it was as good as you being buried, right? And that tells you what the next thing I'm going to say is that you have in common with Jesus, which is what? That you were raised with him to new life. You see, when he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead with new life, because he was dead. He rose with new life, which is his life, perfect life, righteous life, holy life. Watch what it says here in Colossians 2, verse 12, from the Amplified Translation. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, watch this now, and raised with him. So not he wasn't just raised for you, he was also raised as you. That's what that means, right? To a new life through your faith, that's your believing, in the working of God as displayed when he raised Christ from the dead. Praise God. Powerful stuff, isn't it? So far what I've shown you is that what you have in common with Jesus is that you were crucified with him. You were buried with him and you were raised to life with him. So it was as good as you going through all of that. So when you receive salvation in Jesus, this is why it's called the new birth. What happens is that all of those realities come true, come to pass in your life. And the old Adam, I was going to say the old Adam was shed. So I blended the words and I said the old Adam. So let's go with that. We'll make it a new hashtag or something. But who you were in the old Adam, sinful, lost, unredeemed, was shed away from you, and you were raised to new life in Jesus. Perfect, holy, righteous, accepted, loved by the Father. Amen. Aren't you glad you have those things in common with Jesus? So if you have those things in common with Jesus, why would God want to make you sick? Why would he want to put disease on you? Why would he want to put grief, pain, and sorrow on you? That's not him. The enemy does that. Fallen world and life does that, but we have victory over those things. Amen. But that was three. What else do we have in common with Jesus? Ephesians 2 verse 6. Watch what it says. And he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. By the way, that phrase raised us up, it's talking about being ascended with him. So we ascended to heaven, spiritually speaking, but actually factually speaking. So the fourth thing that we have in common with Jesus is that we ascended with him. Notice it says that we are seated with him. So he didn't just ascend for us, he also ascended as us. So when he showed up in heaven and God's full acceptance and his satisfaction for the sacrifice for our sinful state and sins, it was as good as us being before God and being accepted by God. Amen. Powerful stuff. And then the fifth thing that we have in common with Jesus, again, Ephesians 2 verse 6, it was right there, but let's read it again. It says, and he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. In other words, we were when he sat, but we also are because he's still seated there. We are seated with Jesus. So in other words, we are fully identified with him and we are sitting right next to God in Jesus. We're not going to be, we are. So that's the fifth thing that we have in common. We are seated. What does seating convey? It means that we are at rest, we are at confidence and full acceptance with God because we are seated right next to him. Amen. That means that God is satisfied with what happened. He's satisfied with who you are in Jesus. And he loves having you next to him. And you're at rest because you have his authority and he's done everything he needs to do to redeem you. Amen. So those are the five things that we have in common with Jesus. And what a wonderful picture of union, rest, and authority. Amen. So, Jesus not only died for you, but he also died as you. Jesus not only was buried for you, but he was also buried as you. Jesus not only rose to life for you, but he also rose to life as you. Jesus not only ascended for you, but he also ascended as you. Jesus was not only seated next to God for you, but he also is seated there next to God as you. Amen. Those are realities. That's gospel truth about you. Praise God. This is why we can have confidence that we have victory in Jesus. That pain, sorrow, sickness, disease has been conquered and defeated by Jesus. We just need to believe it and receive it by faith. Amen. By believing. You see, Jesus took all our sin, which means that he took all our condemnation. Can I hear an amen? And because he took all our condemnation, he took our sickness, our disease, our pains, our sorrows, our griefs on himself. He took it all in our place. Remember, that's why I showed you, not just for you, but as you, right? Because he did it as though you were there. And you were. It's not make-believe. It's true. You were there. He took it all as you. So here's the thing. If he took all of your condemnation, then do you need to feel condemned before God? You can if you want to, because you control your feelings. You determine what feelings you're going to give into. But as far as God is concerned, does he see you as condemned? Does he condemn you? No, he doesn't, because he condemned you in Jesus. All your condemnation was removed in Jesus. Amen. You see, but here's the thing. I mean, Jesus did it all so you wouldn't have to deal with condemnation. This is why you can trust God to heal you today. And so, because Jesus took it all, it is impossible for God to condemn you again. This is why it says in Romans 8:1, it's not on the screen. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn you because all your condemnation was dealt at the cross. But yet, and he never will. He never will condemn you. He did it once for all. God is not going to judge your sin twice. He judged it all once in Jesus, and that was more than enough. Religion will tell you otherwise. Legalistic teaching will tell you otherwise. People that mix law and grace and try and teach it as the gospel, they will tell you otherwise. But gospel truth says that you will never be condemned again by God. Why? Because God is not going to judge sin twice. When you receive salvation in Jesus, the sin issue is dealt with. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. And because there is no condemnation, we should have confidence that God will heal us. Even when we feel that we deserve it, even when we feel that we've caused it, we can still trust God, because it's not based on our merit or performance. Amen. You see, because Jesus has full acceptance, or the full acceptance of God, you have the full acceptance of God. That's why he didn't just do it for you, but he did it as you. So you're as accepted as Jesus is. Amen. And that's important to know and realize in order to receive healing from God. Now, let me say this. If you still experience condemnation, don't be concerned. That just means that you're still human, that you still live in this fallen world, that you still live in this fallen body. But that doesn't mean that God condemns you. I think condemnation is just part of our conscience. It's part of living life. It can do great things for us, but it can also be very damaging when we don't understand gospel truth. Because here's the thing, condemnation is a lie as far as how God sees you. If you feel somehow condemned before God, if you feel any form of condemnation before the Father, that is a lie. And what condemnation does is it makes people hold on to pain, onto sickness, onto disease, onto sorrows and griefs. Why is that? Because condemnation makes you feel like you deserve it. Isn't that so? I ate too many burgers. That's why God isn't going to heal me, because I shouldn't have eaten so many burgers. And there may be truth to that, but is that where your confidence is? And I'm not saying go and knock yourself out on burgers, okay? I don't think anybody can do more than can handle anyway. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, people feel, well, I don't think God can take this pain away because I'm the one that actually caused it and did it. So yeah, maybe you do need a little wisdom and a little caution next time, but that's not how God qualifies you for healing. Are you with me? Condemnation is a lie. And the reason why condemnation will try and make you feel guilty and bad about something is because this is how the enemy tries to hold pain, sorrow, sickness, disease in your life. In other words, somehow in the back of your mind, your conscience, you feel condemned, you feel guilty, you feel bad, and somehow you ration that into the fact that I deserve to be sick because I did those things. I deserve this and that. Now, there may be truth to that. You may have done some foolish things. We all do. But God doesn't qualify you for healing. He doesn't qualify to remove pain based on your merit or your performance. He will help you through that. He will help us get past that. But we can still be healed and receive healing from God, because it's by grace, not by merits or performance. Amen. I hope somebody's listening to me there. You see, Jesus is more powerful than all condemnation. Isn't that so? Put all of condemnation together in the entirety of man's existence. Jesus is greater than that. The cross was proof of that. At the cross, he dealt with the entirety of condemnation. There is no condemnation left that has some victory, partial victory, or that still needs to be conquered. No, Jesus defeated it all. Amen. And the sooner we settle that in our hearts, the sooner we can receive healing. I can actually sense the anointing right now. I can sense pain is already started leaving some of your bodies. I know some of you sense it. So if you are in any kind of pain today, let's trust God that as we pray now, pain will leave and you will experience healing from God. Amen. I think that I've shared what we need to be in that place today. Amen. And I can, like I said to you, I can actually sense it's already happened for some of you without me even having to pray. Pain's already left. It's gone. I can sense it. Praise God. And whatever there may be left, if you're in pain right now, let's, with this word fresh in our hearts, let's now trust God to remove that pain. Are you ready? So if your pain is physical, if your pain is emotional, if your pain is psychological, whatever kind of pain, however it's labeled, Jesus dealt with it at the cross. We don't have to use our faith to get victory because we already have the victory. He got it and it was His faith that did it. Remember? So we just need to use our faith, our believing, to receive that today. Amen. Are you ready? I can sense the anointing. I can sense God is about to do a mighty work. Are you ready? All right. Get ready to receive. Stretch out your hands towards me. However that looks, whether it's a screen, whatever, in person, whatever it is. Stretch out your hands towards me right now. All right. Now, get ready to receive. I'm about to pray, and I'm going to release the anointing, and you are going to feel pain leave. Some of you are going to experience it immediately. For some, it may be gradual, but it's going to go in the name of Jesus. Some's already left there, right there, when I said His name. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for this word. Thank You for reminding us of these wonderful gospel truths. And today, as I pray for Your people, as I pray for myself, Father, I release right now Your healing power. I release the victory that we have in Jesus. And I speak to pain in their lives right now. Whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, whatever kind of pain. I speak to it right now, and pain, I instruct you. I command you by the authority of Jesus to leave their lives, their bodies, their soul, their minds right now in the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. Just receive it. Just receive it. There it is. Praise God. Praise God. Ooh, I can sense the anointing so wonderfully strong. My knees want to give in. Praise God. Did you experience that? I certainly sensed you just drawing on that with your faith. Praise God. Just receiving in the name of Jesus. It's done. Praise God. Don't let condemnation try and steal that from you. Just walk confidently in the truths that we've shared with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.